Psalm 86. Hear, O Lord, and answer me, for I am poor and needy. Guard my life, for I am devoted to you. You are my God. Save your servant who trusts in you. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I call to you all day long. Bring joy to your servant, for to you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. You are forgiving and good, O Lord, abounding in love to all who call to you. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Listen to my cry for mercy. In the day of trouble, I will call to you, for you will answer me. Among the gods, there is none like you, O Lord. No deeds can compare with yours. All the nations you have made will come and worship before you, O Lord. They will bring glory to your name, for you are great and do marvelous deeds. You alone are God. Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth. Give me an undivided heart, that I may fear your name. I will praise you, O Lord my God, with all my heart. I will glorify your name forever. For great is your love towards me. You have delivered me from the depths of the grave. The arrogant are attacking me, O God. A band of ruthless men seeks my life, men without regard for you. But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness. Turn to me and have mercy upon me. Grant your strength to your servant and save the son of your maidservant. Give me a sign of your goodness that my enemies may see it and be put to shame. For you, O Lord, have helped me and comforted me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Gospel reading is Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 27. It can be found on page 1034 in the Pew Bibles. Hear the Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who ill-treat you. If someone strikes you on one cheek, turn to him the other also. If someone takes your cloak, do not stop him from taking your tunic. Give to everyone who asks you. And if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies. Do good to them and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great and you will be sons of the Most High because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father in heaven is merciful. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
Introduce myself for those that are visiting. I'm Sally Musson and I'm a licensed lay minister in this parish. And I think I've got to apologise to at least five people who heard me preach this morning, and it really doesn't usually work like that in this parish, I can assure you. And I can also assure you I'm not going to preach the same sermon. I used to do that with exam questions. I had a few quotations that used to fit every conceivable O-level question that could come up, but I'm not doing that. So shall we have a moment's quiet? Heavenly Father, we give thanks for what we learn through Jesus' teaching. Please enable me to speak your word faithfully and make all our hearts and minds receptive to your message for us this evening. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So let me begin with a sombre but I think quite powerful story, which many of you will have read about in the papers at the time that it actually happened. On Christmas Eve 2012, somewhere in Sheffield, Alan Greaves was brutally murdered as he walked to church to play the organ at midnight mass. Alan and his wife Maureen had been worshipping and serving God in that community for some 40 years. How could she now deal with his murder on that day of all days, Christmas Eve? Maureen confessed that one of her weaknesses was that she could be unforgiving. She would walk on the other side of the road if she saw someone that she didn't like or had hurt her in some way. And I know that I've done that in the past, haven't we all? We thought, actually, I want to avoid that person. I'll just cross over at the moment. But we'll pick up that story in Maureen's words after Alan died and when she knew that a murder investigation would be launched. I couldn't go back to living with unforgiveness when I'd worked all my life to nurture a forgiving spirit. I prayed for God to give me the ability to fully forgive whoever had murdered Alan, now and forever, because I knew that one day, if they were caught, I would meet them or see them. I asked God to take Alan's murderers into his hands so that I did not have to carry them. In a sense, I was asking to be set free because I had four children to look after and I didn't want us to live the rest of our lives bound to this murder. I wanted us to continue our lives knowing that God will deal with it, both justly and in his love and mercy. Two men were convicted of this crime. Maureen goes on. My prayer has always been that while in prison, they will have time to reflect on their lives, on what they've done, and to come out as different men. By God's grace, our family hasn't been ruined by anger towards them. We came home after the trial and said, it's okay to leave them in God's hands now, and it's been that way for us ever since. And I think that's a real exemplar of what we're going to be looking at in the next few minutes. We're in a short series now on the teaching of Jesus, and our essay title this evening is Who You Should Love. Jesus is delivering the Sermon on the Plain, which closely corresponds to Matthew's Sermon on the Mount, which we looked at some weeks back. Both start with a series of Beatitudes. Although they are very different in a number of respects, one thing is very clear. They're rather a series of bombshells, aren't they? Serious challenges that turn the accepted standards, certainly of that day and today, really, upside down. And our passage this evening does the same. So I think it's page 1034 in the Church Bibles if you wish to follow. Jesus is challenging the Pharisees and showing how different his teaching is from theirs. He describes how the true followers of Jesus should live. He set new standards of behaviour which were focused on internal stuff, not external appearances and observance of laws and regulations. And this code of conduct, if you like, is summed up in the so-called golden rule in verse 31, much quoted. Do to others as you would have them do to you. Okay, if that's the golden rule, how is it to be carried out? And what are the consequences of doing that? So firstly, how do we do it? Well, basically, the answer is stated twice in the passage. Love your enemies. Simple statement, difficult task, I feel. For a start, who are the enemies? Remember, Jesus is talking to his disciples here. And so he's probably referring to their enemies, i.e. the people that were persecuting them. So those who were being openly hostile rather than just non-believers. For us today, enemies is probably rather a strong term, but it's more likely to be those we dislike, those whom, like Maureen Greaves, we would cross the road to avoid or, you know, we don't really want to see them today, or, and I'm on dangerous ground here, but when we don't immediately pick up the phone, when we see the phone number and decide we don't want to speak to that person just now, so maybe we'll let it go to voicemail, shall we? So if rather uncomfortably, perhaps, we've identified our enemies, what does the verb love really mean? Surely there are different types of love. Well, yes, there are. I think the Greek has several, and I don't know much about Greek, so I should probably quote it wrong anyway. But there's definitely three words for love. Eros, which is passionate love. One I can't pronounce, philein, which is love for our nearest and dearest. So that's the warm affection of the heart. And agapan, which can be described as benevolence to somebody else. And it's probably that last one that's being referred to here. And we use and act on the word love differently, don't we? We may say, like I do, we love chocolate, and therefore we have to resolve not to have too much of it. But when we say we love God, hopefully the reverse is true, and we try and act on that love as much as possible. We cannot, and indeed we should not, love our enemies as we do our nearest and dearest. When we fall in love with someone, it's something that just sort of happens, doesn't it? It's a matter of the heart. We don't necessarily have control over it. But loving our enemies is a matter of will as well as of heart. And Jesus spells it out quite clearly at the beginning of this passage. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who ill treat you. It's not just a question of refraining from doing bad things or even just doing nothing, but the essence of being a Christian lies in positively doing and thinking good things. Paul drew heavily on Jesus' teaching in his letter to the Romans. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Bless those who persecute you. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. None of that is easy, but it's probably true to say the only way we can love our enemies is to forgive them. And once we forgive, we can love anyone. But that statement rolls easily off the tongue, doesn't it? But that must be what makes Christians distinctive. It's that we don't have a condition for love, that someone must love us first. It's unconditional. Jesus asked the question, as we heard read, in verse 32. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? And he repeats that twice in similar tones in that paragraph. Even sinners do that, so therefore Christians would be no different if they were doing what sinners are doing. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. And how often do we ask that in the Lord's Prayer? Probably every day, probably several times a day. Apparently, not long after she died in 1988, Margarita Laski, the well-known secular humanist and novelist, said, "What I envy most about you Christians is your forgiveness. I have nobody to forgive me. I have nobody to forgive me." But Maureen Greaves found, as others have, forgiveness is not possible in our own strength. Only the power of God's unending forgiveness working through us can make it possible. We heard in Psalm 86, "Teach me your way, O Lord, and I will walk in your truth." Okay, so it's the Christian thing to do to others as you would have them do to you and obey the command, love your enemies. But it's not easy, and it can be costly to do. So what are the consequences of behaving like this? I think the consequences are summed up in verses 35 and 36. Then your reward will be great, and you will be the sons of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. And if we were to read on to the next two verses in this chapter, we see the benefits of such behaviour exemplified further. Just listen to these or read them. Do not judge and you will not be judged. Do not condemn and you will not be condemned. Forgive and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be poured into your lap. Or with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. I'm sure we will have seen in others, and maybe, to be honest, even experienced in ourselves, what carrying around a chip on the shoulder or bearing a grudge in our hearts, and what it does and what a burden that is. It really is. That way we not only miss what good forgiveness can do to others, but what good it can bring to us. We can let bitterness fill our hearts, or we can, through the grace of God, through Christ, fill our hearts with love. After all, Christ is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. Should we not be the same? God's love embraces all, and that is a love we should try and copy. We can share the love of Christ without discrimination, and if we can do that and show the same forgiveness to others as she has shown to us, that's the best way of showing Christ to others. It's better than me or anybody else preaching up here. And I believe we do experience an earthly reward for doing that, but by far the greatest and fullest reward will be the heavenly one. John Sentamu, the Archbishop of York, wrote in a short commentary on that story of Alan and Maureen Greaves that I read at the beginning. And he wrote, "Forgiveness may seem to many an illogical and incredible response to the cruelty of the world. But for those who ask God's help, it becomes the only way out of darkness. The Holy Spirit breathes God's forgiveness into us and lifts us out of the mire of despond, planting our feet on solid ground, which is Jesus Christ. It is an amazing healing. Do to others as you would have them do to you, and love your enemies." Perhaps we could coin a new phrase as well. There's quite a number, aren't there, like "love me, love my dog," or "love me, love my car," or whatever it is you actually love that's tangible. But we could say more often, couldn't we? "Love God, love all others." And how much more meaningful in many ways is that? So how are we going to put that into practice this week? Perhaps by thinking before we speak or before we act impulsively. It's hard to curb instinctive behaviour. So perhaps we just need to pray to God to help us, like Maureen Greaves did when she knew she had to have that forgiving spirit towards her husband's murderers. We will have the opportunity very soon to come to the Lord's table as his humble and unworthy servants. But let's just have a moment's quiet now, just to ask God to help us do to others as we would have them do to us, and to love our enemies. Heavenly Father, teach us through the example of your Son, Jesus Christ, to love as you love, to be deliberate, unconditional, compassionate, and outwardly focused in giving that love. Help us to always seek the good of others with whom we come into contact, and to forgive them as you forgive us. This we ask through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, who demonstrated that love and forgiveness in his death on the cross. Amen.